You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, all 50 states have legislation that requires specified vaccines for students. And although exemptions vary from state to state, all school immunization laws grant exemptions to children for medical reasons. And all but three states, California, Mississippi, and West Virginia, grant religious exemptions for people who have religious beliefs against immunizations. And currently, 17 states, including here in Idaho, allow for a philosophical exemption for people who object to immunizations because of personal, moral, or other beliefs. Numerous child welfare advocates have been trying for years to get state legislatures, including Idaho, to drop religious exemptions. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this are Bruce Wingate. He is the founder of Protect Idaho Kids. It is a nonprofit organization that advocates removing that exemption. And Pastor Gretchen Bignier, she is with Boise's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Bruce, first off, you founded your nonprofit back in 2009. Tell me why you were moved to actually found a nonprofit like this.
Well, that was in 2009. That was after Robert Manuel. I don't know if you remember
Robert
Manuel. Well, but he was killed by his mother's boyfriend and thrown in the canal. And 2,500 Boise people were out in 100-degree weather trying to find him, and it ended up that they had done him in. Well, at that time, usually what happens is when there's a crisis like that, people are upset for a couple of weeks, and they're going to make changes and have child abuse protection and et cetera. But after a couple of weeks, something else happens, and life goes on, and it's forgotten. So I said, well, let's start something that will keep this in the press and keep it the awareness and have child abuse front and center full time. So since 2009, which is a decade, we've had various activities that keep child abuse front and center.
And Robert Manuel, for people that don't know, he was a little Boise boy, I believe 7 years old, as you said, who was killed by his mother's boyfriend. The boyfriend is now in prison. He was missing for quite a few weeks. So this and it was found that he had been a victim of child abuse. So then take me to how something like that case all of a sudden goes to looking at religious beliefs when it comes to vaccinations.
Well, basically, I'm focusing not on the vaccine so much as the faith healing that protects parents from giving medical aid to their children, and even in the case of death and permanent disability. Just going back, your statement about all 50 states have religious exemptions, that's true. However, when it comes to religious exemptions for faith healing, Idaho is the worst state in the nation for that for two reasons. One is the law itself. The law allows protection for manslaughter, capital murder, and negligent homicide.
So you're broadening this scope. I just want to understand this, not just about vaccines, but about the religious protections.
That's correct. And in this case, it's actually two separate issues. Vaccines are one issue that state regulates, and there also are four exemptions for faith healing, medical neglect protection, two criminal and two civil. And we are trying to get those changed because since the laws were put in place, around 200 Idaho children. It's difficult to get an exact number because the records aren't really accurate. But around 200 children have died from faith-based medical neglect, and many, many more are suffering. And we are trying to get that changed as far as keeping the kids alive, at least.
And in fact, we had there was a documentary that's come out around the followers of Christ. This is the particular religious group in the state of Idaho. Who has this exemption,
right.
And within this documentary, we spoke with the director of it. It's a fascinating documentary, but it does look at things like children passing from preventable diseases.
That's correct.
And Pastor, is that where you kind of come into this in the sense of this is about things like the flu, which we know children can pass from, but if you don't get them help.
Right. It's that medical neglect that can be preventable in these types of diseases that are so easily treatable. But when parents choose not to get the medical attention that their children need, they put them in danger. As Bruce said, sometimes disability, sometimes their very life. And that's where it becomes an issue for me as a person of faith, not to put down someone else's religion. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. But when children who are vulnerable are not being protected, they don't get to make this choice. You know, it's one thing if you as an adult make the choice to be a martyr yourself, to believe that only prayer will heal you. But when children don't have that choice, you know, they are being unprotected. Mm-hmm. They don't have that right. It's being taken away from them. They're voiceless. And so that's, I think, when we need to step in and say these children need to be protected for their own welfare.
You know, and there's that argument between the separation of church and state. And how do you answer a question about, you know, separating those two?
Well, this is a question that the people that oppose what we're doing, trying to get the repeal of the laws, use religious freedom mm-hmm. and parental rights. And even the United States Supreme Court has said you can make a martyr of yourself, but when you're harming others, in this case, vulnerable children, that's crossing the line, mm-hmm. and that should not be allowed. Now, that's the Supreme Court of the United States. Right. So parental rights and religious freedom, we believe in that totally. The adults should be able to believe in anything they want. However, when they cross the line and it starts harming others, that is the problem. And in this case, the people that have held on to this belief and want to keep these laws in place, they're trumping and the child's actual right to life. So how can a parent's right to believe something trump a child's right just to live? Get them to be 18. If they choose faith healing and they want to practice that, that's fine. But 18 years, let them become 18 and make that as an adult.
I'm speaking with Bruce Wingate. He is the founder of Protect Idaho Kids. It's a nonprofit organization that advocates for making sure that children are protected when it comes to faith healing and other religious exemptions, as well as Pastor Gretchen Bignet. She is with Boise's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. You know, it's interesting to me, this is a question for both of you, is these parents who are in religions like the followers of Christ, and this is not the only one. There are religions across the country, around the world, who believe in faith healing. This is a belief to the bottom of their being that mm-hmm. this is what they believe. They also believe that they are doing right by their children.
Absolutely.
How do you change that culture?
Let me just answer that this way. My answer to that is they can believe anything they want, as I say, but does a belief allow you to harm others? Our laws protect people from other people. Driving, you can drive. Mm-hmm. You can't harm another person by driving your car and running into somebody just because you believe that you
can. Or just because you're a parent.
Yeah. So the parents' belief are one thing, and the First Amendment protects that. We believe in the First Amendment. But when it harms the other person, that's mm-hmm. the problem. Mm-hmm. And I ask this, if the listeners out there could realize that in the next decade, if history repeats itself, there's going to be 30 or 40 more children die from faith-based medical neglect. Now picture yourself in a classroom with 30 or 40 kids that know they're going to die from this. How do you answer the question when one of them asks, why do we have to all die because of our parents' belief?
And Pastor, you said something about how children are not the property
right.
of a parent,
right.
but a gift from God, and right. we're supposed to protect them.
Right.
So when we talk about faith-healing religions,
mm-hmm.
how do you have that conversation? Because as I said, we can argue all day long mm-hmm. that you know what these parents are doing it may be wrong, or that their children could, you know, if they got the proper medical attention, would be okay. Mm-hmm. But it still goes back to they do believe that, A, they're doing the right thing, but, B, these are their children. So why should anyone tell them what they should do?
Right, right. And it's not my place to tell somebody what they should believe. That's not what this is about. This is about protecting innocent children. And so we're going to have different understandings of what the Bible says and how we interpret Scripture. And from my perspective, you know, God has given us this responsibility to have dominion, not domination, right from the very beginning, the book of Genesis. And that God throughout Scripture talks about a special preferential option for the poor, for the marginalized.
For the little children.
For the little children, absolutely. And from my Christian perspective, you know, we have Jesus who welcomed little children and blessed them when others wanted to dismiss them, elevating them to an equal level with adults. So it's not that I think I'm going to change the mind mm-hmm. or be able to argue Scripture in a way that will change their mind. We're going to have different ideas in terms of what the Bible says and what our faith says. But again, it's for us and those of us who interpret the Bible and the main message of love, Bible showing us what God's love is and how we reflect that love in the way we live. You know, for me, it has to be that I have to take a stand when children's lives are being lost and they're not able to do anything about it because of what their parents believe.
And Bruce, this has come up numerous times in our state legislature to try to get religious exemption repealed regarding faith-based healing. A, where's it at right now? And B, do you think this is something that will actually happen in our state?
Well, there's a couple of bads and a couple of goods on that. The first bad is that this year, this Monday, the 11th, was the time that it passed for any new bills to be introduced for this year. So I don't think it'll happen this year. The good news on that side is that we've talked to the Judiciary and Rules Committee, who is where the governor's staff has told us we need to bring this bill, and they indicate that they're for change, and next year they think that this can be put in place and hopefully passed. So that's encouraging. The second bad is that because there's another year's delay, if history repeats itself, another 3 to 4 children will die. That's horrible. And my one child's death is too many. 3 or 4 is just really bad. However, the good on that is that if we do get legislation passed next year in the next decade, we will save 30 to 40 children from dying, and a lot more that are suffering will eliminate that.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this. I've been talking with Bruce Wingate. He is the founder of Protect Idaho Kids. It is a nonprofit organization that advocates for children when it comes to child abuse, as well as faith-based healing practices, hoping to be repealed in the Idaho State House, as well as Pastor Gretchen Beignet. She is with Boise's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Thank you again for coming in and talking today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.